is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Lionel Garrett from Wilberforce University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads Podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Linsling here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are going to be talking some NBA, and it's going to be a little bit sad for anyone out there who is a Denver Nuggets fan or an NBA fan. The injury to Jamal Murray is just devastating for, obviously, the Nuggets. And we'll talk about it a little bit more, but takes them completely out of contention in my mind. And for the NBA, it just removes a team that I think, with the addition of Aaron Gordon, had a legitimate chance to win the NBA title, especially with the way that things seemingly are shaping up in the Western Conference. We'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. But Jay, first of all, welcome back from
let me tell you, Mike, vacation
in Disney World.
Let me tell you what.
What's it like to be back to the real world?
I will say this much. I haven't been more ill-prepared for NBA podcast than I am currently. I have watched literally two NBA games in the last week and a half. I have read articles. I've did a little bit of box score watching, kind of like what you I took a little tool from your tool bag.
Box score watching is good.
But I wasn't on Twitter much. I kind of distanced myself from the social media stuff other than like posting some pictures. So I kind of had to catch up a little bit. I got really excited when I saw the Cavs had won a few games in a row, and I texted you and I was like, oh, Mike, look at this. The Cavs have a chance. And they then decided to give up 89 points and a half to, I don't even remember who they played and gave up 80
points.
Toronto. Who's terrible.
Who they're theoretically battling for the 10th spot. I think my quote to you was the Cavs obviously have other plans than
they had other plans.
And then they
played well the other night without their two starting players, without Garland and Sexton and Nance and Jared Allen. They played really well the other night, and then they still lost. But it was at least a competitive game, far more competitive than that other game. So I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to say things that might not be correct during this podcast because I'm a little bit, out of touch. And like I've said before, if you're coming to our podcast taking betting advice from us, I would highly advise you not take any betting advice from me in the next hour or so that we're talking, because maybe I'm going to be completely off base. But I'm like, I had to bring back our favorite game. Name the team that this guy has started for. Now, once again, I do have people that have – I've got two people that have started more than five games, and then I have one person that's only started three games. But I figured he's on a prominent enough team that you have a chance to name him, Mike. So that's what I'm going with, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so I think you have a legitimate chance to get two out of the three of these guys. I'm going to start with the one that I think you have the biggest chance of getting. Nasir Little.
Oh, Nasir Little is plays for the Portland Trailblazers.
There you go. That was the one
He's a former North Carolina Tar Heel. So if I'm going to know any college player, I'm probably going to know a guy from Carolina. And Nasir Little is actually – he's actually decent. I think he's got a future in the league of being a competent starter at some point in the future.
I mean, he started like 7 games, so I figured he was the one that I had pegged that you were definitely going to get.
All right, I feel good about – I feel it. At least if I'm a baseball player right now, I'm pretty good. I'm batting 333 at worst.
Yep. All right. Okay, this next guy – Sam Merrill.
That's not Sam Decker.
Nope, that's not Sam Decker. Sam Decker is retired now.
But. Yeah, I don't think he's in the league anymore. I believe I honestly have heard of Sam Merrill. I have heard the name before. I can honestly say, though, I have no clue what team he might be on.
He kind of looks like Sam Decker. Like,
I feel like as soon as you say it, I'm gonna remember where.
If I give you the college, would that help you?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
I think
Utah State University.
Okay, that's not gonna help me in any way, shape, or form. Sam Merrill. All right, let me go through and think and see if any of these.
This is the one I took a little liberty with. He started only one game.
Sam Merrill.
But he's played in 23 this season.
Okay. I believe Sam Merrill.
As a rookie, he's played in 23 games, and this is a playoff team. I will give you that hint. This is a playoff team.
A playoff team. I'm going to say that he is a member of the let's go Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, nope. I'll give you one more hint.
Okay.
One of the initial NBA teams that we picked up on the podcast network.
Miami Heat.
No.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
It is the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right. So, yeah, I have nothing on that. I know I've heard his name, but nothing. All right, so I'm 1-for-2.
Okay, next. This guy, that was the guy I thought maybe you had a chance because you like the Bucks. So I don't think there's any chance you know this one.
Okay.
Gabe Vincent.
Gabe Vincent. Is that Sam Vincent's brother? Or son? It probably has to be Sam Vincent's son from Michigan State. Let's see. Well, why don't we just go since Sam Vincent, he was a Michigan guy. So let's say he plays for the Detroit Pistons.
No. This is also a playoff team.
Gabe Vincent. I'm going to say Gabe Vincent must play for the – He's got to be on the Brooklyn Nets.
No. You mentioned it earlier. Celtics. You mentioned it earlier when you were guessing the last guy.
The Dallas Mavericks.
Nope.
I don't even remember who I said now.
The Miami Heat. He's a Miami Heat. He went to college at UC Santa Barbara.
All right. I should have quit while I was ahead.
Yeah. Well
if I was a baseball player, I'm a Hall of Famer. That's what I'm hanging my hat on.
Yeah, that's true.
But if I'm Anthony Edwards, I don't know anything about baseball.
This is interesting. He went to school in Modesto, California, but he plays in the Nigerian national team.
Okay, there you go. Don't let Charles Barkley near him.
Yeah,
don't. Oh, that was Angola, sorry.
Oh, boy. All right, so that was our game for the week, Mike. We'll continue this until the regular season's over, and once the regular season's over, I'll come up with a new game. Maybe it'll be playoff related, just to kind of add a little bit of excitement.
All right, sounds good.
Try to come up with something creative.
Sounds good.
All right, so I think we have to start with the news you kind of led off the top with is the Jamal Murray ACL. Now, I will be completely honest, I'd seen last night, I was in bed, it was a late game, right? Was it a late game? It was late.
It started at 10. I think it started at 10 Eastern.
10 Eastern. It was a late game. I went to bed at like 11:30, and I had seen that Golden State was winning at halftime. And I was like, how is that even happening? Because, I mean, Golden State, yes, they've been playing okay, and you know, and everything. But I think the thing that I saw right before bed was the clip of, I don't know the guy's name. He's some guy I never heard of until I saw the clip. He stole a ball. Did you see the clip? He stole the ball and ran to the other end. And as he was going up for the layup for the Warriors, he dribbled the ball off his knee. And I was, and then it had Draymond Green roll his eyes. It was pretty hilarious. And I don't know. I apologize for not knowing who it was. And I said, "Ooh, that's not a good look for the Warriors. That guy's playing heavy minutes in this can't be good." But then I woke up this morning and I saw the news that Jamal Murray was going to get an MRI, and they were waiting an MRI. And Steph had dropped 53 in the game, which would have obviously been the headline until the last minute of the game when Jamal Murray did. His knee injury, which ended up being a torn ACL, he's done for the season, and essentially the Nuggets are done. Now, can the Nuggets make some noise? Can they win a round? They probably can win a round, but I don't see how they win two rounds. Is there a path for them to win two rounds now without Jamal Murray, Mike? Do you think they can win one round?
I think Jokic is good enough, and if Porter steps up, and they do have competent backup point guards, like Monte Morris is a competent backup point guard, and they have Facundo Campazzo, who is functional. So you just don't have, especially when you think about what Murray has been in the playoffs, you don't have anybody that can approach that level of production. Plus, the chemistry that Jokic and Murray have developed over the last several years, both in the regular season and the playoffs, there's just no way for them to be able to replace that.
I honestly think the biggest problem is going to be now is they're kind of stuck here in the playoff situation where they're going to probably end up with the 4 or the 5 seed. You know who they're going to play in the first round? Probably going to play the Lakers in the first round. And I don't see them beating the Lakers. If they have to play the Lakers in the first round, they're going to be a one and done.
But we still don't know. I know that the rumor is, or the reports are, that AD is going to be back sometime. They're saying, I heard, like the next 7 to 10 days. LeBron is probably still a couple weeks out. But I don't know. Like, who knows? AD, we know he could go down pretty much at any time, and LeBron coming back from that ankle, I mean, it's his first really, you know, I guess he missed whatever 2 seasons ago when he first came in that first season to the Lakers, and he was out at the end of the year. But who knows how he comes back from that high ankle sprain? So,
did you see the stats that their defensive rating has improved since the two of them have been out?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I give the Lakers a lot of credit. I mean, they're 6-4 in their last 10, and granted, it's not like they're beating – they beat Brooklyn. And other than that, they've kind of beaten the teams that you would expect them to beat, and they've lost to the teams that you'd expect them to lose to. But when you take AD and LeBron off this team, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago, and Justin and I talked about it a little bit last week, I just really felt like they were going to drop significantly, and that there was a decent chance that for sure that Portland and Dallas at the 6-7 could pass them up. And now it seems like – if those two guys get back on their timetable, that they're probably going to be able to hold off Portland and Dallas and remain in that.
It's going to be Denver that's going to be passed by Portland and Dallas, possibly, right?
I mean, yeah, possibly. Maybe. I mean, Denver's 2.5 up on Portland. They're 4.5 up on Dallas. So that would take kind of a big collapse for that to happen, which is certainly possible. I mean, you take one of any team's 2 best players off the floor, and they're going to be affected by it. And so I think, look, can Denver win the title without Jamal Murray? Absolutely not. Could they beat a semi-compromised Lakers team without Jamal Murray? Sure. Can they beat a full-strength Lakers team without Jamal Murray? No, absolutely not. I think that they could – I mean, it sounds dumb because – and we've talked about it before, but – I would, even if this Denver team matches up with Utah and Phoenix, I think that's a toss up. Now, I don't think Denver falls all the way to 7 to where they would get Phoenix, but it's like, I don't know. I think when you start looking at the Western Conference and you start trying to figure out like who do these teams want to play. So now, I think before, if you were looking at, if you were the Lakers or you were Portland or you were Dallas, you're kind of thinking, well, I almost want to be the 7 or 8, right? Because I want to play Utah.
No, I don't know. I don't want the 7 or 8 because you have to play in the playing games.
I know you got to play in the playing games, but all things being equal, would I rather be the 6 and play the Clippers and not be in the play-in, or do I think I have a better chance to beat Utah and Phoenix? I don't know. We've talked about it, you and I, before. Last week, Justin and I talked about it, like teams that we thought legitimately could win the West. And just give me your take, and then I'll share what I said last week.
Well, I listened to the episode, Mike.
So last week I said that
I was very offended by your takes. Because I still think Portland Trailblazers have a path to winning the West.
No, dude, their defense is horrible, man. They're not the Portland Trailblazers are not winning the West. Although
I didn't say that I think they're going to win. Do they have a path to win? Is what I stated.
All right, so let's review. Let's kind of revisit, because things have obviously changed now. So I said really that I thought there were 2.5 teams that I thought could win the Western Conference.
You said the Lakers, you said Denver, and you said as funny as it may sound, you said the Clippers, right? I think that was the third team. I'm proving that I listened to the episode, by the way.
That's very good.
And Justin was a little more, I think Justin said that he thought that maybe Utah, is that correct? Did he say maybe Utah?
He had five teams in the West.
Yeah,
so I think he had
the top five. Correct. Yeah,
you guys are
very bad at bashing on Portland. Listen, I'm just telling you, I think it's going to happen? No, I don't think it's going to happen. But is there a path for Portland making it to the finals? I think there's a path.
Is it more likely today? Is it more likely today than it was yesterday?
100%.
Absolutely, I agree. I mean, I think now...
Here's the path. Can I just lay out the path to Portland being in the finals? I'm going to lay out the path. LeBron and AD aren't 100%. They don't come back. They do come back, but they're clearly not themselves. The Lakers aren't themselves. So there's another team knocked off. The Clippers have a Clipper meltdown. That's another team off. The Utah Jazz are exactly what we think they are. A regular season, what was that? The Atlanta Hawks team, 5, okay?
Right.
Are you honestly telling me that if you had Utah Jazz versus Portland Trailblazers that you're going to take, that you feel comfortable taking the Utah Jazz to win that series? I don't feel comfortable at all taking the Utah Jazz to win that series.
That series is a toss-up, but here's the thing. So,
Phoenix is the only team.
Portland's defense, I don't think Portland's defense holds up over 3 rounds to get them to the NBA Finals. I don't think. Now, I will say, though, if you look at what the Western Conference is right now today compared to what it was yesterday at this time before Murray goes down with the ACL, and I think about what I said last week that Lakers, Nuggets, and begrudgingly – me thinking that the Clippers could win it. At this point, if the Lakers are in any way diminished, where either LeBron or AD have not returned to the lineup, or they re-injure themselves, or one or both of them is at less than 100% capacity, I think if you're any one of the top 7, you have to believe that you have a real chance to win the title at this point, or at least to get to the finals, I should say. Because, look, I don't know. Every team has a flaw. Every team has things that make you think they can't win it. They may have things and reasons why you think they can, but every team has a reason why you think they can't. Utah, do they have a go-to guy? Is Donovan Mitchell good enough? Do they have a history of not maybe performing as well in the playoffs as their regular season.
They're going to feed everyone pizza every single time they come to Utah.
There you go. Phoenix, inexperienced. First time through, unlikely to make it to the finals. The Clippers, franchise fatigue with their just repeated meltdowns in the past, plus this specific team, their mental state. Where is Paul George going to be? There's plenty of doubts about the Clippers. Denver now. People, I think, were not 100% sold that Denver was a legitimate title contender before. I think there were doubters. Without Jamal Murray, I think they certainly drop in the ability to say, hey, they're going to win a title. But again, if LA is compromised, Jokic is probably going to be the MVP, depending on how now it's going to depend on what they do down the stretch. I mean, if Jokic continues to do what he's doing and Denver continues to win at a decent clip, I mean, he kind of cements the MVP. What if Denver falls apart in the next month? Who's your MVP then? I mean, now it gets into a whole muddled discussion of, I mean, we could talk more about that. But anyway, Denver, without Murray, there's clearly doubts there. The Lakers, you just don't know about health. Portland, to me, it still comes down to their defense and can Nurkic stay healthy and be the guy that they need him to be on the defensive end.
How about Enes Kanter? Did you see his stat line the other night?
I saw he had 30 rebounds. I don't know what went along with that, but
he had 30 rebounds. That's impressive.
That's a lot of rebounds.
Like, that's like triple Ricky Davis getting the rebounds in his triple-double game.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
He threw the ball up the backboard.
All right, last team, Dallas. So if you're Dallas, now you're looking around, you're going, hey, we got Luka. Porzingis stays healthy.
Hey, but he's not a fan of the play-in game.
No, I know, and neither is Mark Cuban. Did you see
Mark Cuban was a fan of it until Luka said something.
He said he wants 20 teams in and then four teams play in for the last four spots. So you have a 24-team play. Like, whatever, man. I mean,
but then as soon as Luka came out and said it wasn't a good idea, he changed his mind.
Well, I heard him say, and I think there was some speculation today too about the compressed schedule and whether that contributes to guys getting hurt and whether that contributed to Murray's injury. And Cuban mentioned that in his remarks that, like, with the compressed schedule, trying to get this number of games in such a short period of time, is it a good idea to pile more of those games into a short time? And look, everybody knew what they were signing up for. It's not like the league or the players had a gun to their head and were forced to do something that they didn't want to do. Both sides came together with the understanding that if we want to be able to make our money, then these are things that we have to do. And players and teams, I guess, just have to figure it out and try to manage players and just cross your fingers. And again, it's terrible that Jamal Murray got hurt. I mean, I'd say my Bucks and the Nuggets are my two favorite teams to watch and probably the two teams that I would have been rooting for to make it to the finals. That's why I picked in the finals when I was with Justin last week. And I just, man, it's hard that Murray went down, but there is probably some merit to the argument of playing that many games.
By the
way,
that was atrocity. You picked the Bucks in the finals. Come on.
Why?
Because they're not going to be in the finals.
Who's going to be in the finals?
The Brooklyn Nets. I'm staying on this. The Brooklyn Nets are going to be in the NBA finals, Mike.
I don't trust the Brooklyn Nets, man. There's too many. There's too many whacked out personalities on that team that, look, it could all come together spectacularly, but it could also flame out spectacularly as well. I'm not as sold on Brooklyn and what they've put together as you are. I know you're all hyped up on the big three, but I don't know. The mental capacity of the big three, I'm not sure in totality it adds up to the big one. So I don't know. Look, are the Bucks a sure thing? I mean, clearly, we've seen in the last two playoffs, no, absolutely not. Is Philly a sure thing?
No.
No. I mean, who knows if Embiid's going to be available? Simmons has been
he might have the runs.
Yeah, I mean, Simmons has had the craziest season of, like, up and down and this and that and whatever.
Yeah, the only person that's had the crazier season / last 2 weeks is Paul Pierce, Mike.
Yeah, well, we'll leave that alone.
I thought of him when we talked about the run. So I apologize.
Other than just to say how stupid he was, I mean, it's just how you're that.
As soon as I saw that, I sent it to you. I was like, "Can you? He works for Disney. He worked for Disney.
I mean, it doesn't matter who you work for. I don't care if you work for Joe's Construction Company. Like, you can't. That's not the kind of thing that you can be posting. Anyway, all right, moving on from that. I don't know. Are we in the East or the West? I don't even know anymore. But look, in the Western Conference, to me is way more wide open today than it was yesterday. And I just think that any one of these teams, especially if the Lakers are not at full strength, any one of those seven teams can talk themselves.
Let's do this, Mike. Let's do a power rankings really quickly, Mike. I'm just going to do a power rankings from the West.
Okay. That's fair.
As it stands right now, with what we know, so you have to take account of the Lakers' injuries and you don't know what the
are we ranking them as of right now today, or we're speculating?
As of this right second, right now.
What their roster looks like right now today?
And what their roster looks like right now today. I'm putting you on the spot here. Your number one? If the rosters do not change, say LeBron and AD don't come back.
Okay.
If the rosters do not change, who in the West is your favorite to be in the championship finals?
I'm staring at all seven teams, and I got to be honest, like the Lakers without LeBron and AD, I don't like any of these teams. I mean, I don't trust any of them to win three rounds in a row. I mean, I know somebody has to win, but I don't trust any of them. I guess. All right, so one. Ugh.
Okay, do you want me to do mine first? I'll do mine first.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, because I'm struggling, man.
So
I'm struggling.
I would begrudgingly probably put the Clippers one.
Okay.
Okay. I would probably, after the Clippers, I would put the Jazz.
Okay.
After the Jazz, laugh at me if you want, I'm putting the Blazers.
Okay.
After the Blazers, I'm going to put the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
After the Mavericks, I'm going to put the Nuggets.
Okay.
After the Nuggets, I would have the Suns.
Okay.
And then after the Suns, I would have the Lakers. I would have them as the seventh most likely if LeBron and AD don't come back.
Okay.
That's where my headspace is.
Okay. All right. So, man. All right. I'm going to go. Man, I'm going to go Dallas is my number one.
Oh, my God. No way.
Here's why. Look, if you're telling me that I have the current roster throughout the entire playoffs, if I have a healthy Porzingis.
Okay.
If I have a healthy Porzingis for the entire playoff run, because that's what we're saying, right?
Yeah, sure.
If we're not saying the Lakers are going to have AD and LeBron.
Okay.
I'm going to say Dallas.
Okay.
My number two is the Clippers. My number three is Utah. My number four is Denver. My number five.
Stop. So you think Denver, without Jamal Murray,
I think Jokic is that good.
Okay.
I think he's that good. To be honest, like I said, I don't like any of these teams now. I mean, I really don't. Like, there's. I don't like any of them. I don't think any team right now is that I would look at and be like, I feel really good that team can win three straight playoff rounds. And I know somebody has to, but I don't feel good about it. So I had Denver at what, number four, I think?
Yeah.
Number four. So then five, I would say probably, I'd say five, Phoenix, six, Portland, seven, the Lakers. I just think defensively, I don't know. I just don't think that small backcourt can get it done for three rounds to get them to the NBA Finals. And I don't like I said, I don't like any of those teams. I really don't.
Oh man, their defense is playing really well right now, Mike. You're missing it. You're missing the defense of Portland.
They just gave a wide open layup in the middle of a possession.
All right. Anyways.
All right, so let's do the same thing for the East. There's only three teams.
You're not going to give you don't give the Celtics any chance.
No, you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure, go first.
Okay.
You're going to go Milwaukee, Nets, Sixers. Or you're going to go Milwaukee, Sixers, Nets. Those are your answers.
Yeah, Milwaukee is one, but Milwaukee is one by the thinnest of margins. Like if I could go, if I split the odds, Milwaukee would get like 33.4% and Brooklyn and Philly would get 33.2% or whatever it would be that would add up to 100%. So I don't know. I don't trust. I don't, I don't, I know I keep saying it, but I look at the, all these teams. And I don't see a complete team that I think is just going to steamroll people. I can see scenarios where any one of these teams, the Western Conference teams, the Eastern Conference teams, any and all of them could easily struggle, and any of them can beat any of the other teams. Now, I don't think anybody in the East, I don't foresee anybody in the East losing in that first round series.
Mike, you see who's the four seed right now in the East?
The Atlanta Hawks.
Jesus Christ. What is going on?
Well, I think, okay.
They fired their head coach and they're in the four seed.
Look, if the four five matchup is Atlanta and Miami, if Miami's healthy, you can't give Atlanta any possible chance of winning that series.
No. But the freaking Hawks fired their coach and they're the fourth seed in the East. The East is a dumpster fire, Mike.
Chicago is 3-7 in their last 10, and since they traded for Vooch, they've been just god awful. Right, they're god awful. And they're 10th.
Hey Mike, think about this. They're three and seven in their last 10, but in the last 4 days when I texted you, the Cavs were 3.5 games out, Mike. They've lost 2 games, but they've gained 0.5 game on the 10th spot. Yeah, think about that. Crazy. It's terrible. The East is a dumpster fire.
It's terrible. Boston doesn't have any chance. I mean, Boston is not going to beat. If Boston matches up with Milwaukee, there's no way Boston's beating Milwaukee. None of those three teams at the top are losing unless they're somehow compromised by injury. And even then, these other teams in the East are terrible. Miami and Boston are the only teams that could be competitive. Atlanta's not going to be competitive. Charlotte, the Knicks, Pacers, Bulls, Raptors, if they somehow creep their way in there. The Wizards are somehow only 2 games back. None of those teams.
Come on, your Cleveland Cavaliers.
No. No, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Okay. You're right. It's not happening. But a man can dream. Anyways, so here's the other thing too, Mike. I just have to ask this question. Like, so if you're in the Western Conference and you're a Western Conference owner, how long are we going to let this go? And how long until do you give this? Forget the conferences, open it up, stop with the seeding based on conference and just do it. How long until that is a real thing? Is that a possibility anytime soon, do you think, or no?
I don't think so. And here's why. I think that you're going to have to, if you're going to eliminate the conferences and you're just going to, whatever, rank everybody 1 through 30, then you have to figure out how you're going to balance the schedule. And I don't think you can play an unbalanced schedule and then put all the teams together in the same whatever and rank them 1 through 16 or whatever with the play-in or however you're going to make it work. I think you'd have to balance the schedule. And then you start talking about travel. I think in an ideal world, if you wanted to balance the schedule, you go to a 70-game schedule. So you open up more off days, which enables you to do more longer travel, but you eliminate some games, and then you could balance the schedule and you reduce the schedule. And as a result of that, you could then eliminate the conferences. But I think as long as you have an unbalanced schedule, I think it's going to be hard to make it work. I think otherwise, I think there's always going to be people who are going to be complaining. And look, we can say it's cyclical. The West has been much better for a while now, but is that always going to be the case? Probably not. I mean, at some point it's going to flip, you would have to think.
Theoretically, right? Theoretical, Rodney.
Theoretically. Like, if the Knicks ever get it together and the Knicks become a glamour market and a franchise that people want to go play for, obviously Brooklyn has already gotten there. If the Knicks get there, now you have the two LAs on the West Coast, you have the two New York teams on the East Coast. And then after that, I guess, are there more desirable cities in the West than the East? Maybe. I mean, you have more cold weather cities. in the East than you do in the West. So maybe that's where players want to go and play in the Western Conference when they become free agents. But I don't know. I mean, I just think that – I think it's cyclical, and I think eventually it'll flip and it won't be maybe as imbalanced as it is right now. So I don't know. I don't know what the ownership – I don't know what people – how much behind the scenes people are pushing for that. I think basically what it comes down to is depending on which side of the coin you're on at a given moment, that's kind of how you feel. You're going to do what's best for you in the moment, whenever that vote comes up or whenever that discussion happens. It would take a pretty small ego for somebody to be able to look at the whole situation and kind of vote against their own interest in the moment. That doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, I think when you see things happen, you see them happen based on kind of like what we talked about with Cuban and Luka. Like if they were number four in the standings, would they care about the play-in or be making comments about it? Probably not, because it wouldn't be directly affecting them. So I don't see that on the horizon. Do you?
I think you could talk me into it being a possibility. Do I think it's definitely going to happen? No. But I think, I mean, here's what I think the NBA has to really consider, Mike. You want the best product in the playoffs. True or false?
Yes, you do.
So is the best product in the playoffs to have the Chicago Bulls in the playoffs? Or is the best product getting the Pelicans in the playoffs? Getting, you know...
But ultimately, does it really matter? Does that really matter?
Here's my question. If you have a play-in game, if you're doing the play-in game, are people more likely to tune into Indiana-Chicago, or are they more likely to tune into Sacramento-New Orleans?
Right, but look, it's one game or maybe two games or the play-in. What's the most number of games that could be played in the play-in?
Well, three. It's three. No matter what, it's three. It's going to be the 7-8, the 9-10, and then whoever wins the 9-10 plays the loser of the 7-8.
So three games total. Even if you have a ratings bonanza for those three games.
I understand, Mike. I'm just saying, even if that, but okay. So let's hypothetically talk about this. Okay. Would you rather the Chicago Bulls somehow squeak into the 8 seed, or would you rather the New Orleans Pelicans squeak into the 8 seed?
Look, I'd rather watch Zion for four games than watch Zach LaVine. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's fine. But ultimately, when you look at what the NBA product ultimately is, those teams who are in the 7, 8, 9, 10 spots are not teams that are materially going to impact who wins the title. They're just not. Maybe one of those teams pulls an upset and wins a round. Highly unlikely, but maybe. They're certainly not winning two or three rounds where you're going to get a ton of games that Zion or somebody else who's a star that's playing in the 9 or 10 slot. I just don't think that, I don't know. To me, that argument just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't hold water, because I just think that those teams are kind of irrelevant in the overall playoff picture. It doesn't matter. If New Orleans is in, great. Last year, New Orleans didn't make it. Did anyone care? No, because we got to watch Memphis and Portland in the play-in game, and that was an entertaining game, and those teams had players that people wanted to watch.
Okay. Well, I disagree with you on this one, Mike.
That's fair.
I disagree with you.
I mean, look. If the NBA next year said, hey, we're doing away with conferences and we're just going to rank the teams 1 through 16.
I don't think it could be next year because I think they have.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, if suddenly today they said next year we're just going to go, we're eliminating the conferences and we're going to go 1 through 16 and, you know, whatever, or we're going to have a play-in for however they set that up, fine. I mean, I'm good with that. You get the best teams in, you get the best players in. Great. I have no problem with it. I just think that this is something that is maybe more complex from a scheduling standpoint and trying to figure all that part of it out, that I don't see it happening anytime soon.
But the schedules are already not balanced, Mike.
I know it's not balanced, but because you're an Eastern Conference team, you're playing more Eastern Conference teams. So theoretically, if you're a Western Conference team, you're going to say, well, why are we having to compete with these Eastern Conference teams when we're only playing the Pistons, the Magic, the Cavs, the Wizards, the Raptors, the Bulls, the Pacers? We're only playing those teams two times a year, whereas these other teams in the East are playing those teams four or five times a year.
Well,
they're gonna have to
fix that, but I don't think it's overly that complicated, honestly.
Well, it's not even that it's complicated, but then there's more travel. So if Utah is gonna play,
well, you do this home and home thing. You do this home and home thing that they implemented this year.
Right, but there's a lot of there's a lot of changes to traditionally the way that the NBA has conducted their business. It's not just one thing. There's a series of changes that have to be made. One, you have to make sure that everybody's playing everybody basically the same amount. Maybe one team plays another team three times versus two. But you'd have to go and you have to put in this home and home series or whatever you want to call it. And I just think leagues are slow. They're slow to change. Could the NBA do it? Sure. Would I be upset if they did it? Not at all. I'd be totally fine. I just don't see it on the horizon. I'd be stunned if it happens in the next 5 years for sure.
Okay. All right. I respect your opinion, Mike.
My opinion doesn't really mean anything. It's not like I have any insider knowledge of what's going to happen. But to me, it seems like it would just go slow. So.
All right. So we kind of did the first and the third topic on our rundown in that discussion, Mike. So we talked about a lot of players, Mike, during that. Hey, Mike, have you heard about Thrive Fantasy?
I have.
Thrive Fantasy is a new world of fantasy sports gambling. You select 10 prop bets that carry each a point total based on their likelihood of happening. You're going to use promo code HOOPHEADS when you sign up today, and you receive an instant deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. And with that, here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com. Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders, I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. We're going to really quickly, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier when we talked about the Murray injury. Steph Curry last night dropped 53, and in route of dropping 53, he had 21 in the first quarter of that game. He passed Will Chamberlain's all-time record as a Golden State Warrior. Now, I know Mike is coming out with guns blazing for this, so I'm going to turn it over to Mike about his opinion on this whole thing. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, let's just cool our heels on the excitement over Steph becoming the all-time leading scorer for the Warriors. Steph played, what do we say, 746 games as a Golden State Warrior?
745, I think it was. But
745,
yeah.
Okay. And Wilt did play 429 games for the Warriors. So I think we need to just kind of cool our jets on being that excited that he's the all-time leading scorer for the Warriors. It's great. Congratulations to Steph. And obviously he's a fantastic, unbelievable player, an all-time great. But I think we need to keep it in perspective that Wilt scored the same number of points in 300 less games. So let's give Wilt his due with what he does. I think anytime your name is being mentioned with Wilt Chamberlain when it comes to NBA records, you're probably doing something pretty special. But in this case, I'm not sure that the comparison between Steph and Wilt, I don't know that it's – you're not comparing apples to apples here. You're comparing a guy who's been with the Warriors for a longer period of time, and it's a record of longevity as opposed to him actually surpassing Wilt as a scorer. You're not surpassing Wilt as a scorer.
It's just like yesterday night when Kevin Love passed Mark Price on the all-time three-point shooting list for the Cavs. I mean, I know they're not the same level of players, okay? But you're not going to tell me that Mark Price wasn't a better shooter of the three-point ball than Kevin Love was. You're not going to tell me that, okay? Kevin Love, just the era has changed things. You're shooting more threes, okay? And you know, that's the bottom line really on that, right? You agree with me there, or do you disagree with me on that?
No, I agree. Nobody would argue that Kevin Love was a better three-point shooter than Mark Price. But you have to just kind of put it into context of the era that a player played. If you put Mark Price in today's game, his volume of threes probably, I don't know, triples at least, I would say, from what he shot. Maybe it even quadruples. And you could probably say that for anybody who played in that late 80s, early 90s era. If you put those guys into today's NBA, they're just going to take a lot more shots. And look, the game is what it is. But yeah, we have to remember that when we're comparing across eras. And I just thought, you know, congratulations to Steph again for breaking that record. But it's not really a record that, I don't know, to me, it's not like you're passing Wilt in a thing that is overly impressive. It's great that he's the all-time Warriors leading scorer. He probably should be, because you just look at the history of the franchise and winning two titles. And you know, depending on what you think of Wilt and where you associate him with.
You mean three titles?
What's that?
They won three titles, right? 15, yeah, 17,
three,
18.
Sorry, yeah. three titles. And so, you know, let's put it this way. I don't associate Wilt. When I think of Wilt with the Warriors, I think of when they were the Philadelphia Warriors and not moving out to California. So I think it makes more sense for Steph to be associated as the all-time leading scorer for the Golden State Warriors. But let's remember that he's played 300 and some odd more games than Wilt played in a Warriors jersey. So
okay, you've inspired a new game, Mike. We're going to do game in the middle of the podcast.
All right.
I'm going to name a team, and you're going to tell me who their all-time leading scorer is.
We already did this, man. I did this with you, remember? We did this game.
You can tell me who the Phoenix Suns' all-time leading scorer is?
Oh, I'm not saying I can tell you who it is. I'm saying we already did this, like, I don't know, sometime, I think within the last year, because I found a graphic – that had the leading score of all the players. And I think we went through, and I want to say you got about, I want to say somewhere between 15 and 18. But you can give me some teams if you want.
I'm going to give you three teams.
Okay.
The Phoenix Suns.
The Phoenix Suns, their all-time leading scorer. All right, let's see. So it has to be someone who was there for a while. I'm going to say Walter Davis.
That's the correct answer.
All right.
I'm impressed. Okay. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
The Minnesota Timberwolves. It has to be Garnett.
That's correct. Oh, that's too easy. Hold on.
You got to give me one obscure one. Those two I felt like were fairly... Phoenix was, I guess, a little bit difficult, but it had to be somebody who played there a long time, so...
I think that one's too easy too. Hold on, I'm just give me one more here.
All right.
Oh, the Orlando Magic.
The Orlando Magic's all time leading scorer. Let me think. Man. Nick Anderson.
No.
Don't tell me. Let me think.
If you don't get it on the next one, I'll give you a clue.
Okay. All-time leading scorer, Orlando Magic. It's got to be somebody who played the majority of their career. The Magic. Man. I don't know. Give me a clue.
Still in the league.
Still in the league. Vucevic?
Won a championship last year.
Oh, Dwight Howard.
That's the right answer. That man, the magic.
How many
11,435 is a magic.
Okay.
There
you go.
Okay, those are the three teams. I'll stop there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Move on from that.
Okay.
Yeah, all so right. Anyway, congratulations to Steph, but look, 300 and some odd more games. Let's continue to give Wilt his due. When you're talking about scoring in the NBA, you're still talking about two guys. You're talking about Wilt and Jordan, and anybody else, forget about it.
Yep. All right. So the last segment for the night, biggest winners and losers. So we've talked about a lot of these teams already, so I don't know how much we're going to go on this. Atlanta's won three in a row. Boston's won three in a row. The Knicks have won three in a row, including a beatdown of the Lakers. The Clippers have won six in a row. And the Pelicans have won three in a row. One of the Pelicans' wins was against the Cavs, so I don't know how much that really means anything.
All right, let's just touch on a couple of those. So I'll give you my quick thoughts on a couple of them.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so Atlanta continues to hold on to the four seed, seemingly against all odds. I think it just speaks to the poor quality of the Eastern Conference more than it speaks to anything about the Atlanta Hawks. As you mentioned, fire their coach, still in the four seed. Congrats to Nate McMillan. I just think that that's a team that is primed for. I mean, they could easily lose to whoever, you know, to whoever the five. I mean, if it's Miami, they're probably gonna lose their first round series. So forget about them. Boston, I don't know. It's weird because they've made three of the last four Eastern Conference Finals, and yet I don't feel like they're in any way, shape, or form a legitimate threat to any of those top three teams. I just there's something off about them that I don't know. Tatum and Brown, even though again they've been a part of those teams, still feels like they're too young and they're still trying to figure it out. And as a team, Boston just doesn't scare me. The Knicks were seemingly headed down the standings, and then they've kind of righted the ship here with the last three wins. You had guaranteed the Knicks were going to be in the playoffs, and they still, with the swoon of the Chicago Bulls, it seems like that is probably the case, that they're going to be a play-in team because they're currently five games ahead of Chicago, and it doesn't seem like Chicago is going to suddenly be turning it on here anytime soon. So the Knicks are probably going to make it into at least the play-in. But I don't know what to make of the Knicks. I mean, this whole Eastern Conference is just it's a disaster. So whatever. And then in the West, the Clippers seemingly are playing better. I just don't trust them in big moments. So they could win their next 17 in a row, and I'd still have questions and doubts about them going into the playoffs. And then New Orleans, I'll be stunned if New Orleans doesn't make it into one of those last two spots, either passing the Warriors or passing the Spurs, who are also, they're 4-6. They've won two in a row, but I think New Orleans passes one of those two teams, if not both of them, to get into the play. And Zion has just been, I mean, he's been ridiculous. His stat line against the Cavs was just insane. I mean, 16 of 22. The guy's doing it without any semblance of a jump shot. I mean, he's just not taking jump shots, but he just gets to the rim anytime he wants to. And every game that I watch him, he just becomes a better passer, a better manipulator of the defense. He's attacking. He has no jump shot, and he only goes left, and nobody in the league can stop him. And he's 20 years old. He's phenomenal now, and I can't wait to see what he looks like in 3 or 4 years, with the caveat, as always, if he can stay healthy. He's going to be a top five player in the league really, really soon, and he's going to be there for a long time. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Yep. All right. I don't really have anything to add to what you just said. I think my big thing is I think the Pelicans get in, but I just can't get a good read on that team. I mean, they should have blown that terrible Cavs team out, and they almost lost to them. So
yeah, it's not like New Orleans. New Orleans is, don't get me wrong, New Orleans is not some juggernaut team. They have a lot of problems, and I don't know if they know what the problems are, but to me, Zion is just such a singular talent that I think he's going to carry them past either the Warriors or the Spurs.
Yeah. Okay.
Or both.
Yep. All right. So then biggest losers, let's see here. We got the Chicago Bulls have lost 3 in a row. Orlando's lost 6 in a row. They're in a free fall.
Not surprising.
Not surprisingly. Sacramento, who had all of a sudden started to play well, they've lost 7 in a row. OKC has lost 7 in a row, although Lou Dort dropped 42 tonight. Congrats to Lou Dort. And then the Houston Rockets have lost 3 in a row. Listen, those three teams in the West, Sacramento's out of it, Mike. They're done.
What's with that team, man?
Luke Walton is a terrible coach.
It has to be Vivek ownership and just goofiness going on behind the scenes there. I think that's one thing. And then Luke Walton can't be a good coach at this point, or he's just lost it with this particular team. I don't know. It feels like they've had such a weird season where they've had long streaks going both directions, and just when you think they've kind of righted the ship, they fall apart again.
Yep.
I don't know what to make of Sacramento. I like that team. I like some of their individual players. I really like De'Aaron Fox. I like Buddy Hield in the right situation. I like Halliburton. It just feels like they're ripe for somebody coming in there and kind of putting a clean slate in front of them and getting started next season with a new head coach. That's what I'm guessing is probably going to happen.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's definitely going to be a new coach there next season. They're definitely a prime candidate. And do you want to talk about any of these other teams, or like they're all bad? Like OKC's bad, although Lou Dort, like I said, dropped 42. You know, Houston's terrible. They're god awful.
I mean, I think okay.
Let's, Orlando's god awful. All these teams that are on huge losing streaks are awful. Even Chicago, awful.
Let's do this. let's wrap it up here by saying, if we look at the bottom of, let's look at the teams that are currently not in the play-in in both conferences. So in the East, you're talking Toronto, Washington, the Cavs, the Magic, the Pistons. And then in the Western Conference, we're talking about, right now, we have to talk New Orleans, Sacramento, Oklahoma City, Houston, and Minnesota. Which one of those teams would you most like to see? Forget the Cavs. Let's eliminate the hometown bias. Which of those teams would you like to see get the number one pick?
Oh, well, New Orleans, but they're not going to. I New Orleans, or actually, Mike, I'm going to say this. I would like to see Oklahoma City get it.
Okay, why? I'm just curious.
Because I like Lou Dort now. I'm a Lou Dort believer, and I want to put a good player with him. Fair. And I want to give them a chance. SGA, Lou Dort, and a number one pick, that would be pretty good. I don't want to see Detroit get them, because Detroit is just lit. Might as well be the Cuyahoga River 25 years ago and light it on fire. Okay, because that's what I feel like all the Pistons teams
don't
and players.
Don't let the guys from Motor City Hoops hear this.
Listen, they can hear it, and the Pistons, the franchise is abysmal right now. Like, they're terrible. I'm sorry, Motor City Hoops, I apologize. They're terrible. They're really bad. Anyways, I don't want Orlando to get it, although it would be fun to pair them with Fultz and Isaac, but we don't even know.
Right, we don't know what those guys are going to be.
You know, we don't know what they're going to be because they've been injury. I don't want Toronto to get it because I don't really like Toronto. And the Wizards, I mean, I guess the Wizards are probably the team that probably most deserves it with what they've gone through, because I feel really bad for the Wizards. I do. I feel really bad for them. They had a terrible GM, and they're really not a terrible – like, they're literally one player away from being a good team, I think.
If they – let's say the Wizards got the number one pick, and let's just say whatever, it's Cade Cunningham, and Cunningham ends up being, he ends up being worthy of being the number one pick. Or let's say that the Wizards just get, let's say the Wizards get the best player in this draft at whatever position they end up in. Now you have Beal, that number one pick, who's going to be a guy who theoretically is going to come in and contribute right away. You still have Westbrook. You have Hachimura. You have Denny Avdia. Like, that's the makings of a pretty good team. If that, again, if that number one pick is...
It hits.
A number, right. If it hits where the guy's a legitimate superstar. And maybe he's not, obviously, you're not having a 19-year-old rookie come in the way that Tim Duncan or Larry Bird came into the league and engineer a 40-game turnaround. But that becomes a legitimate... That becomes a legitimate playoff team if the number one pick is good. So I think the Wizards would be interesting. I think of all the teams in the East other than the Cavs, I think I would like to see that number one pick go to the Wizards. And in the West, if you're including New Orleans, you'd obviously love to see him go, see that number one pick go to New Orleans just to pair more guys and put more talent around Zion. And then otherwise, I don't want him to go to Houston. Minnesota, I'm torn because part of you feels sorry for Karl Anthony Towns and sort of that whole situation. And maybe,
hey, but have you seen the stats with him, and if him and Anthony Edwards are on the floor together, they're seemingly playing really well together right now.
Yeah, they're playing right. Towns is still a good player. I mean, I know he has defensive deficiencies and he's kind of fallen off the radar because Minnesota's been really, really bad. But and Anthony Edwards has some issues.
I don't know about baseball.
Yeah, but
even though he was a multi-sport athlete in high school and played baseball, right.
Listen, he's 19 years old, and the guy has physical gifts that are unbelievable, and he's either going to put it together and figure it out, or maybe he never does, and his destiny is just to be a good stats, bad team guy. I don't know, but he certainly has the talent to be able to put it together. If Minnesota gets new ownership and Glenn Taylor is out of the picture, maybe new ownership turns things around, builds a good organization, and Minnesota is able to sort of capture this, you know, what's left of Karl Anthony Towns. I think he has, what, 3 years maybe left on his contract. Maybe they turn around in that time so that he doesn't leave them when he's heading toward free agency. So I don't think Minnesota would be all bad. Oklahoma City would be a good spot, obviously, with Sam Presti. They have a passionate fan base there. Sacramento, just from a player standpoint, if you put the number one pick in a guy who pans out and you pair that guy with Halliburton and Fox and Buddy Hield or whatever, to me, that's get a good coach in there. But you just don't know. These organizations that continuously lose and lose and lose and lose and lose, I don't know. Do you really want to sentence a guy who's going to be a great player? I mean, I know that's what happens typically is, you know, you're not getting drafted at number one very often and getting a chance to go play for a good team. But I don't know. So I guess in the West, if I had to pick one, I'd pick New Orleans. If I eliminate New Orleans, then I guess my next choice would probably be, I'd probably say Minnesota with the new ownership group, with the idea that hopefully they can build an organization that can put a winning team around Karl Anthony Towns. So,
Mike, just so you know, so Dame Lillard just hit a three in this game. It's a one-point game right now with 40 seconds left. Dame Lillard hit a three. He tied Jason Kidd all-time for 10th all-time in three-pointers made. He's not. I feel like he's not even been in the league. I mean, what, Dame Lillard's been in the league for how many years? Like 9 or 10? 9?
Probably less than 10, I would guess. Because he came out as a 22-year-old. Is he 32? I don't know.
He's 30. So he's been in the league 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is his 9th season in the NBA. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is his 9th season, and he is 10th all-time in three-pointers made. That just right there. The proof is in the pudding in what the era. I mean,
listen, you'll get no Dame slander from me. Dame is awesome. I think it's really hard for a guy who's 6'2 to lead his team to the title as the
Well, no, I'm not talking about title. I was just saying like the three-point thing is what I was saying.
No. Look, I'm saying it's incredible. Dame is fantastic. He's awesome. And I love what he does. I just don't think his team is going to get there.
Okay. All right. Anyways, that's where we're going to end it right there. Mike doesn't think they can get there.
All right. I don't think they can get there. All right, give me your finals right now. Give me your final
right
team.
Right now, knowing what I know.
Give me your finals. This is how we're going to end every show from now until, at least until the playoffs start. So last week I had
Clippers,
Milwaukee, Denver.
Clippers-Nets.
Clippers-Nets. All right. I am going to go, man. I'm going to stick with my Milwaukee. I'm going to stick Milwaukee in the East. And in the Western Conference right now, I'm going to go, I'll go Clippers too, even though I don't trust them. I don't trust any of these teams. So Bucks Clippers.
Okay.
As of today, Bucks Clippers.
Sounds good.
All right, let's wrap it there. Thanks to everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. We have on Friday our next roundtable, which I believe is roundtable number 28, coming out, talking about how coaches can design an effective player development system for the summer and how they work to prepare their team for the following season. So be sure to check that episode out. And obviously, we have a lot of great interviews coming up, and we'll continue to do our weekly NBA show late Tuesday night to be released on Wednesday morning. So check those shows out here on the Hoopheads Pod, and look for all of the other network shows, whether you're interested in the coaching side of it or whether you're interested in the NBA side of it. You can find lots of great basketball content here on the Hoopheads Pod. Thanks for checking us out. We appreciate it. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.